AfterBuzz TV, Grey's Anatomy After Show is back. We are season 13, episode 20 in the air tonight. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Yeah, I was waiting for it to start. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the AfterBuzz TV, Grey's Anatomy After Show. It's in the air tonight. Can you feel it?
We can totally feel it.
Another plane crash. I am your host, Kelly, and you can find me on social media at Kelly with an IEO79, and I've got some amazing co-hosts with me.
My name's Karina Vargas. You guys can find me everywhere on Twitter and Instagram at KarinaXVRGS.
What's up, guys? Thanks for tuning in. I am Timothy Michael. You can reach me on all social media platforms at I am Timothy Mike. And to my left,
I'm Lanisha, and you guys can catch me on Instagram and on Twitter at Lanisha_33.
And we have a friend of mine in the studio tonight. This is Mr. Anthony Mack. he has a little behind-the-scenes info he's going to share about tonight's episode a little later as we get into it. But let's dive right in.
Yeah.
So, well, we got another plane crash.
Almost plane crash.
A super shaky airplane.
Yeah. Yeah. Very turbulent plane.
Shaky airplane.
A very, very turbulent plane.
Yes.
Very, very turbulent
plane.
But the episode starts out and it's we've got Meredith on a plane going to a conference. And then who else is going to the conference?
Of course they are.
And I'm going to apologize to you guys. I have like this little cough I'm trying to get rid of, and I'm going to try not to hurt your ears with it. But Rick is on the plane with her, and it really forces them into this space to just be together, talk about what's going on, and really kind of hash it out. While, of course, all this other wild and wacky stuff is happening, because it can't just be a normal flight.
No, of course not. It's Grey's Anatomy. Why would it?
Never.
I mean, I think what I liked about this episode is, like you pointed out, it is a very... I mean, a plane is a very tight space. I mean, there's really no way that you can get...
Right.
Like, you're going to be next to somebody. Yeah. So to put them together, I thought it was brilliant. But at the same time, I'm like, they couldn't have done it in a different atmosphere, in a different setting. Something that would be a little less... you know, intense, because, I mean, I thought tonight's episode was really intense, you guys. It was, like, fast-paced. It was, like, one after the other. I was whoa, this is crazy. But, I mean, I'm kind of glad. I'm excited how it happened.
Throughout the whole episode, I had anxiety. I don't know about you. I was, like, PTSD from, like, season
right,
six.
Something happened, I grabbed the wall. it was just very intense.
Yeah.
I love the part where when they were sitting down, like, she finally saw him, and then the girl in the middle was like, do I need to move? Ingrid, what's her name?
Yeah. Ingrid, Well, let's actually talk about that really quick, because I liked how they set up the flight with the characters that we were going to see throughout the flight. Mm-hmm. We had the gay couple, Max and Jay. Apparently, Max was going home to see Jay's family. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They had a little fight going on. The flight attendant, Candace, who is... really aggressive. Yeah. I thought the flight attendants on this flight were very aggressive. I was like, are we on United, you guys? Because they are very aggressive on this flight. They were having none of it. And then we had the Spanish woman, the crying baby, and then her husband. And then we had the businessman with the deadline, who was kind of also a douche.
He was trying
to get his, like, force his luggage into the overhead, and she's like, you need to... I was like, you better that's why Candace is not playing it around.
And even when he was like telling Meredith, like, oh, could you bring me some juice, and I was like, and she was like, I'm a doctor, it's like, you tell him.
Right. I was like, okay, I mean, but I think the sad part is, you guys, these people exist.
You'd think
that this is just a fabrication or a character, but no, these people actually exist, which is sad. True. Especially on planes. I mean, I don't like crying babies either, but at least...
I mean, I'd probably be one of the people that would pay extra to not have babies on the plane, but, you know, I get it. I'm not trying to antagonize.
Is there, like,
oh, my God, somebody was going to say that they were going to build that, and they were going to make that happen, and I've been waiting for it for years.
I mean, they have adult-only resorts.
I would.
I mean, anybody that follows me on Twitter, like, we don't have kids. All of these, like, they know it's, like, a thing for me. Every flight I'm ever on, I promise you, within five rows, there's a screaming child. I've got video to prove it. every single time. It does not fail. So I feel the pain. But I would never, like, antagonize, like, the parents. Like, I get it. My sister just had a baby, so I got to deal with it.
But I think that's what what made this episode of Grey's Anatomy real, is that, of course, you'd have a screaming baby. Everybody can relate to that. Yeah. I mean, it's just so relatable. Yes, you're going to have the douchebag man and the aggressive flight attendant. Like, these are characters that exist in real life. So I like when Grey's Anatomy does that. It makes it real.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that I like the setting of the plane because I feel like it was perfect for this relationship, because as you see in the flashbacks and all of that, it kind of forces her to have to deal with the trauma of not only everything that's happened in her life, but also the trauma of Derek and letting that go in order to move forward.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And like, I feel like all of it throughout the whole episode is her being so strong in all these other ways and still being really scared in that one specific way. And then we see the flashbacks and we see all of that. And that kind of pulled at me
a little bit, you know? Yeah. I mean, anytime they bring up Meredith and Derek, we're all going to, like, you know, our heartstrings are just going to
be pulled. But even with Lexi and just, like, all of that.
I got teary-eyed when she brought up Lexi.
Right?
And then especially because they were doing the flashbacks.
Right.
And it was just, like, remembering that episode, it was so traumatic.
Yes. You know? Yes. Funny story, you guys. I named my dog after Lexi Gray. Because she was my favorite character on Grey's Anatomy. I remember sobbing my life away when that episode aired. Still the most traumatic Grey's Anatomy episode for me. Mm-hmm. So seeing those flashbacks, I was definitely like, this is my life. My life. But just going back to the whole Meredith and this episode about letting him go, I love the whole comparison that as Meredith was narrating the episode, when she was like, you know, it's either time to, you know, take your chances of getting on board the plane or not. And it's like, where do you draw the line? And are you not living if you don't take the chance?
Right. And it was especially, it was emphasizing the fact that you have been through a trauma already, you know, in this similar kind of, the same thing. So do you jump back into that, you know, same thing? Or do you just, you know, stray away from it to play it safe, you know?
Well, then I like it at the end, too. It also shows, like, you know, do you avoid the crash or not? And then it shows all of her flashbacks of all the good times.
Yeah.
So had she avoided it, she would have never had it.
Very true.
And then that kind of like goes into that. And it's kind of, I think, a crossroads that everyone faces, and it's very relatable. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she does it more times than probably anyone ever. But it's just kind of like nice to try to, and not really like letting Derek go, but just kind of like letting that just kind of be and accepting what is and saying, okay, well, that's that part of my life. Now let's move on to something else.
Well, here's the thing. And no, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and Riggs brought it up, and kind of like, you kind of have to move on after she was, when he was trying to convince her, like, you know, you want this too. Like, you are giving me signals that you want this too. And she just blurts out, I'm married. You know, and then after that tugged at my heart.
Oh,
because I mean, technically she is, you know, she's widowed.
She is.
But so then that was, I think, what drove him to say, you know, you kind of do have to let go. Like, okay, you're widowed, but you're not married anymore in the sense of like you have an actual physical husband.
Right.
So you do kind of have to let go and move on.
But I feel like Derek's death, and I don't know if you guys in the chat or my panel here feels the same way, but I feel like Derek's death on the show is so fast. I feel like none of us were able to catch up to that. And then, you know, Meredith left for months at a time. So I feel like we didn't really get to see her move on completely. So anytime they go back with her and just remembering Derek and the pain that is still there, I'm always like, well, of course it would be there, because we never had this closure to it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I feel like they definitely didn't let us grieve.
Not at all.
No, like, I feel like his death, they didn't really give him justice.
No.
You know?
Well, and then he was gone a lot before that anyway, when he was off at that other hospital, and there was Washington. That, like,
that kind of affair thing.
Oh, we were like, whatever was happening there.
I didn't like that.
No.
I like the fact, though, like, kind of going back to Riggs and Meredith, when they were in the bathroom stall, and Riggs had been saying, like, why? Like, why don't you want to, like, let me? And she was like, you know why. And in that moment, I was like, oh, she's talking about Derek. And so I like the way that they connected it until the end, too.
Yeah.
She was like, that's the reason why I'm, you know, not afraid, I guess. But that's what Riggs kept on telling her, too. Like, are you afraid to, like, let someone in your life?
And he knew that because Arizona told him that last episode when they had that little confrontation. Speaking of that bathroom, though, you guys, that bathroom was really big for
me. I was going to say that.
You brought it up, and I was like, I have to say it.
I was like, that's a lot of room in that little airplane that crew.
I was like, we could do a lot there.
What airline did they use? Right?
We're doing like the whole Kama Sutra up in that bathroom because you have so much room. It's luxury.
I mean, I barely have, you know, when you go in, like, I know. You can barely, like, run around by yourself. Like, I don't know how they were both up against that door like that.
Seriously.
With still room behind, like, I don't know. That was funny, though.
Yeah, but this whole cat and mouse thing between them, I liked how it, like, lasted throughout the episode. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just want to dive into the cases tonight. Yeah. Because those were I was like, where could they possibly go with this? Didn't go where I expected. No. Who would ever expect? I need a little brain. But yeah,
Strong
first
brain too.
Yeah, right? So turbulence happens. Yes. And then all hell breaks loose. Mm-hmm. And then we're confronted with all these different cases. Mm-hmm. And was it just me, or do you guys think that the people on this plane were extra needy?
Extra needy.
I even wrote that about Ingrid. Like, where did she come from? She was so attached so quickly. I'm like, didn't you just meet him here? And she's like, you left me for hours. I'm like,
and then when they announced it on the radio, like, oh, if you need help, like, press the button. And there was only two doctors, and everybody else was like, what happened to you guys? Like,
immediate help.
I was like, were you all standing up or something? Was nobody in their seat at this specific time? Like, what is happening?
Because right when I saw, I don't know if you guys saw it too, but I saw the Max.
Oh, you saw it? I didn't see it.
You didn't see it?
No.
Oh,
he did. Oh, I didn't see that. Oh.
So I was like, I didn't see anybody else doing that. So I was like, why are you having help?
Well, there were three doctors.
Oh, yes. Three. Oh, I'm glad you brought that up.
Three doctors.
Yes. Oh, two and a half.
Yes.
Well, I know, poor guy.
You're shady. You're so shady. Yes, Harrison Peters, who was a pediatric dentist, let's talk about that really quick for a second, because there was some love, like, squares going on tonight. There was Candace and Riggs, and then there was Harrison and Meredith.
Right.
Do we think that doctors are just attracted to doctors? Like, what is this?
Well, I mean, flight attendant.
Yeah, well, there's a flight attendant. Yeah, but I mean, then there's Harrison and Meredith. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, Meredith's hot. Yeah, everybody's always hot. Like, everybody's
hot. And she was taking charge, too. Yeah. Like, some men do think that's sexy. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's always all about Meredith.
Yeah.
You know, you got the military doctor. You know, everywhere she goes, she's picking up men.
Neurosurgeon.
Breaking hearts everywhere she goes.
But yeah, I'm glad that you brought up Ingrid too, because this Asian chick was like, first of all, she had this scratch on her arm.
Hey, that was pretty deep.
It was not that. Cut it out. I was like, the freaking boy had a deeper cut than she did, and he was fine. But she had like
longer.
She had this scratch on her arm, and then I was so surprised that she was attempting to help them out with Max, who had a brain bleed, which is what his case was. So Meredith decides to do a, what was it? Was it called? A
cranionomy.
Yeah, maybe
cranionomy.
She was cranionomy.
I'm not going to attempt to.
Right. Yeah,
she was trying to take blood out of his brain
to relieve the pressure.
Yeah, let's just be literal
with minimal supplies.
Ooh, with little to no supplies.
Yeah.
A syringe, a straw.
Nail clippers at one point.
I mean, she was MacGyver.
She was.
Seriously. She was. I was like, okay.
Yeah, and I thought that was impressive because I know in the past once Owen came to the scene and he put like a lot of the interns through like the trauma practice or whatever like that. And Meredith didn't really go through that. Mm-hmm. So for her to work on her feet like that and be on her toes, I was impressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I just felt like she kind of had like experience with it with already have gone through that in season
well,
six.
Well, oh, you're right. In the plane crash. Yeah.
So I was like, she kind of already improvised there.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're right.
Like,
and let's not forget, Meredith does teach, you know, unorthodox, you know, things to the residents, because she was a teacher before she went to head of general. So, or maybe she still is. They haven't really addressed it lately. But she does. She's very smart. Mm-hmm. She knows how to, you know, use her resources to her advantage. And I think that you struck the nail on the head. I mean, she's already been through this. Mm-hmm. So she knows where to find certain things.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. And then also, I do want to talk about okay, so we have Max who has a brain bleed, but Jay, when she told Jay to look for a pulse, and he was like, I don't know how, I was like, you're like a 40-year-old man and you don't know how to find a pulse. I was like, I know how to find a pulse. Like, I know how to find a pulse on my dog. That's how much I know how to find a pulse. Like, you know, I was like, come on, Grace Writers, right. Let's get this light together. Because I was like, okay.
Just about everybody knows how, or at least they think they know how. Like,
yeah. Well, now, and if you don't, now you do. You can feel the neck or the wrist.
Thank you, Kelly.
Just if you feel anything pulsing.
That's what a pulse is. Anything, not that's dead.
A pulse. If something's moving under your fingers, right. That's what it is. But yes, no, somebody in our chat just brought, yes, it did remind me of when Izzy was drilling holes in the ferry accident.
That's from right.
A lot of seasons ago, and she had a lot of seasons ago. Well, I didn't remember what season it was.
No, me neither.
So many, what season are we on now? Like 115? So many seasons ago when she was on the phone and trying to get help, mm-hmm. and doing all that when that big ferry accident happened. Mm-hmm. And we haven't seen anything like that happen in a while. So it was kind of like nice to see them having to use what they have and come up with something to save someone's life.
Yeah, I always love when they put them out of the hospital, no matter what environment they're in, whether it be a prison, like we saw in the beginning of the season, or they're, you know, on a ferry or in a plane. I love when they have to use, you know, untraditional methods to help a patient. And I feel like if April was on this plane, she would have killed it. And just one of our viewers, I don't want to mess up your name. I think it's Assy Queen Borhan. Assy Queen, if that's your name, girl, like, I'm in love with you. But she said that, you know, April went to trauma and, you know, she went to Iraq and she was trained on how to use, like, these unconventional methods to, you know, help these soldiers. And I feel like if she was on that plane, she would have killed it. But Meredith did just a great, great job as well.
I hope that maybe they do that to the interns and kind of give them stuff to do, like, stuff that they may encounter.
Yeah, because you never know.
Yeah.
And if there's anything that we've learned in Grays is that emergencies come at any time.
And they always happen there.
Did you guys notice the title screen tonight? I thought that was cool. The title screen with the clouds. Just a little shout out for pre-production.
I wanted to ask you guys what you guys thought about what we found out about Riggs. He was also in a plane crash.
I love that. I love that they have so much in common. And I love that they're getting onto that. And I think that's another reason why Meredith, in the end of the episode, ultimately decides to, you know, give it a chance. Mm-hmm. Because they do have a lot in common. I think they can learn a lot from each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, his wasn't as traumatic.
I mean.
Yeah. And I don't know about you guys, because she says, you know, some people died. It was really bad, blah, blah, blah. And then later on, they talk about it again. And he's like, so what happened? A part of me just felt like it wasn't maybe the right time. Or maybe that's just me because I'm always in my feelings sometimes. I'm just like, don't ask me that right now. And I told you some people died. Like, well, maybe let's talk about it later. I don't know. How did you guys feel about that?
I don't know. I felt like, I mean, they're on a plane. When are they going to talk about the plane crash?
No.
I mean, it's a huge part of Meredith's life. And I feel like, the way that they segued into after she told him about Lexi, and it was like a light bulb that went off in his head, and he was like, oh, this is why you don't want to leave Maggie.
Right.
And I liked how Meredith kind of like confronted him and was like, that's not necessarily the entire reason, because Derek was also a subconscious reason as well. But that has a lot to do with, you know, the reason why she wants to be there for her family.
Yeah.
Right.
Because she almost lost it all several times.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I like that they connected that too.
Yeah, but I like that he was also prodding her. Because, you know, usually it's just, I don't want to talk about it, fine.
Yeah.
But he was making her talk about it, making her kind of get up in there and really think about it, which I think ultimately led to the end where she kind of started having more of those flashbacks and really gave it a second thought, which she usually doesn't.
Yeah.
And she's so adamant, makes her choices, and, like, that's it.
And that's it.
I think he also probably wanted to get in a deeper level and get to know her more, like, of her experiences, kind of.
Yeah. So. And he challenges her. And that's what I like. About the two of them. That's why I like him with her and her with him. And I never, like I said, I've brought this up before, I never thought that I would like Meredith with any other guy besides Derek.
Right.
But I like that he is like that, that he challenges her and that he pursues her so vehemently. You know what I mean?
And that's kind of how Derek was, too, in the beginning.
Right.
Because of how Meredith is, she's always been so kind of closed off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Derek was like that, too. He kind of had to push and force his way in with her.
So and he tells her it's not even just about the sex. It's not what happened in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. It's more than that. You know it. I know it. Quit pretending like you don't.
Right.
And I like that. And she needs that. She's always needed that. You're right. Yeah. Even when Derek had to do it for her.
I do want to talk about this quote that they had that Meredith said. She said that she talked about the Seattle Grace 5. That's what they call them at Seattle Grace. Yeah. 6 went up, 5 came down, and only 3 are alive today. And that's just how dramatic Grey's Anatomy is. So who went up? It was Arizona, Sloane, Lexi, Derek, Christina, Meredith.
Yeah.
And then Sloane, Lexi, Derek, or Dan.
Yeah.
And Christina's not even on the show anymore.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Oh, and yeah, and Arizona lost her leg. So yeah. It's like, so we only have like two and a half people.
It's terrible. Yeah. There's so much. I mean, if you go back, and I know, and we've done it like a few of our after, you go back and think of all the different traumas from the shootings, from the bomb in the chest, and then the ferry accident, and the drowning, and like all these different things. It's like, wow.
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned that, because the way she was holding the needle for some reason brought me back to her hands on
the bomb.
Like, and that's probably why it was so steady, right?
Possibly, right? Yes. You know, training. Things happen in life, and it's, traumatic for you, and then it can kind of prepare you for later on.
And I think that's one of the high points of this episode were the flashbacks, because, I mean, like you guys, we've had a lot of seasons of this show. It's really hard to keep track of everything that's happened. So when they throw things in there at us, I'm always like, oh my gosh, I remember when that happened. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I totally forgot about it. How do you forget about that? Like, you did the drowning and the bomb, obviously, was like season one or two. That was like really early in her career.
Really early.
Yeah, so I was like, I liked that. And I feel like all of those things had a lot to do with why she is the way that she is, especially in this episode. So I'm glad that they picked those flashbacks specifically for this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, the drowning, the bomb, Meredith's mom, when she was saying it's a lot of blood, because there's blood gushing out of this guy's head.
Oh my God, into a little cup.
After she used a straw and nail clippers.
Amazing.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. Let's talk about the captain really quick, because I love that Grey's Anatomy is so female empowered that they always, and it's sad that we even have to bring this up and talk about it, that they have a female captain. Oh my God. Like, it's like, it's really not that mind blowing, you guys. It's, you know, women can do just a good job of piloting a plane as a man can. But I love that they, better. Well, I don't know about this case. This bitch should not land this plane.
She was not going to endanger 250,000 lives to save
one. Prioritize. Like, we have to land this plane. But I love that they kept raising the stakes and raising the stakes. It was like the perfect storm meets Grey's Anatomy. I was like, it was brilliant. I loved that.
Yeah, no, it was like, she was adamant. She's like, look, this is the way it's going to be. I will land when I can land. Fine. And then Meredith's bossing the boys around. Fine. And then, you know, she's getting everything in line. And then, you know, and then we find out that Bailey, I can't think of her real name.
Shonda Wilson.
Yes, was directing the episode. So it was really great to see, like, all that, you know, kind of, like, female empowerment just kind of, like, happening on there. And it was, I mean, it was great.
Yeah. I feel like when you have so many elements in an episode like this, so many characters, so many situations, things can get lost and sloppy. And I didn't feel that way from this episode. I felt pretty much connected to all of these characters. And nobody died.
Somebody almost died. Yeah, I was like, I almost thought the jerk guy, I don't think they ever gave his name, but I almost thought he was going to die.
I didn't think he was going to die, because if he died, I don't think we would have felt bad. Would you have felt bad?
Right, because that's what I was thinking. I don't even feel bad if he died.
But I like that Riggs was not going to give up. Like, nobody is dying tonight.
Yeah.
And he really kind of kept at it and kept at it.
Let's talk about that moment really quick, because the businessman had pulmonary hypertension, which was addressed in the beginning of the episode. And then, obviously, the stress of all of this, you know, caused him to, you know, suffocate, or his lung vessels to constrict, or whatever the hell that was.
Right.
And in order to save him, they needed erectile dysfunction drugs. And I think all of us in the studio right now, our favorite moment of the episode was when the old lady was like, I heard you need, go ahead, take it.
I was like, you guys need ED pills? We got them. Like,
hands up. Did you guys see her husband, I guess it was, in the back, and he's like,
save some for me, though.
He's like, right. He's like, don't take all of them. Another thing that I felt not weird, that I just thought was hilarious, was when they brought Max into, I guess it was the first class area, to do the surgery, and they told those people to clear out. And I was like, well, where are you going to put them? It's a full flight.
Like I said.
I was
like,
I'm just going to sit on the floor in the gallery. But if you guys noticed, there was a man right behind Meredith that was just reading a book. Did anybody not notice it? He was literally just reading a book. Like, all of this is happening around him, and he's just like, and I'm like, this extra needs to give me some acting or something. Like, look over your shoulder, something. Be like, oh, concerned or nosy, something. Because if somebody was doing that behind me, I'd be like, what's happening?
Right?
Like, oh, I want to know. Yeah. Oh, right. Oh. But he was just in that book. It must have been a really good book.
I was too focused on that brain bleed.
I had to point it out. I'm sorry.
That's hilarious.
But back to the businessman, I just want to say, because because of his attitude, I think, like, Meredith wasn't taking him seriously. And she knew his condition. Mm-hmm. But it's like, okay, I'll get you some water later, whatever. Because it's like, you're so arrogant. Like, I'm going to kind of dismiss you.
Yeah.
I'll come to you if I need to, things like that. So that just goes to show, like, don't be mean to people.
Yeah.
Because you never know when you may need someone or need that person that you're being kind of an a-hole to, you know?
Right.
Because, honestly, had his attitude been better, maybe she would have, maybe that water would have helped him a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? Could have opened his airways a little, you know, water breathing.
Maybe.
Creates a little more oxygen.
Mm.
Could have.
Moral of the story, you guys, be nice to everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
You never know.
You never know. So never. That's just our moral
those,
for that.
One of those people might have to save your life one day.
Right,
you know.
I mean, seriously,
you never know.
I just wanted to get that out.
Yeah, and I loved just going back to the captain really quick. I loved in the end of the episode where the captain and Meredith, after they obviously land the plane, everybody survives. Yay, happy ending. The captain goes up to Meredith and is like, "Nice flying with you." I felt like that was like good little props for her to, you know, I have respect for you as a doctor. You have respect for me as a pilot. And I kind of want to segue into our guest.
Yes.
Because he was a big part of that last scene.
Yes. Anthony, tell us about that. The landing. So Anthony works at, tell everybody, you give him your background.
Van Nuys Airport, without saying too much. They're at the north end. And that whole scene, they cut, excuse me, they actually cut a lot of part out when emergency vehicles drive up to the aircraft. And you have to bring in the stairs to the airplane. So they did that. And I guided the plane in. I mean, the truck in. And earlier before that, we were all part of my company is part of the whole production. So we had to stage the plane, put in separate things. So there's stuff that I noticed that everybody else wouldn't notice that was in place. But after that, they cut out the whole scene where the emergency vehicles come in and everybody runs up the stairs inside the plane to grab everybody out.
Oh.
And that was actually the last part was when they said cut, and that's it, that's a wrap. Everybody was running out the plane.
Oh. So you had to make sure the plane looked like it was a real landing, like it was supposed to, with all the stuff that was where it was supposed to be.
Well, because we had to put the plane on the special pads because the ground, it would sink in, so.
Oh.
And, yeah, that was pretty much it.
Did you get to meet Ellen Pompeo, or did you get to see her?
Oh, yeah, I saw everybody there.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, everybody was walking around, and, you know, everybody's eating together off the catering truck, which was delicious.
Craft service is always the best.
Craft service, yeah. And I was there when she was filming on, on Instagram.
She did an Instagram video, and I saw him in the background.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, because he was standing at the door of the plane. I remember I sent it to him, and I was like, is that you in the back? Because she was doing a little, like, talk video, and she put it on her social media.
We had to make sure the power was on, because they had actually a ground power unit on the other side of the aircraft. You probably can see it if you watch it again.
Uh-huh.
But we had to cut that off so they can hear sound inside the aircraft. Mm-hmm. And then some of that part they did at the studio, of course. But, we had to monitor that. And make sure everything was cool with the captain. And we actually had a delay, like a 30-minute delay, because we had some technical difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
So that was it's pretty interesting.
World of television. Were you excited to see the episode and seeing how much they condensed it for television?
I knew they were going to, I was excited, but I knew they were going to condense it like a lot. Because that whole scene, they started at 4.
4 a.m.?
Yeah, 4 p.m.
4 p.m.
Yeah.
Oh, because it was nighttime, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The plane got there earlier that day around 11 in the morning. We staged everything ready, so they start shooting at 4, and they were done by 3:30 in the morning.
Wow. That's almost a 12-hour day.
Yeah, it was a 15-hour day for me.
Oh, well, yeah.
So was that bathroom really the bathroom on the plane?
No, that was a studio
bathroom. You know that was a studio bathroom.
I figured, but I was like,
I need to know what plane this is, if this is a real bathroom on a plane. I'm flying with them.
Maybe if it was a chartered out private jet, then the bathroom would be a little bit extra, but commercially, nah.
Was everything in the set? So, like, the roles and everything were also somewhere else?
The inside, all the dialogue and all that was at the studio.
Yeah.
Mm.
And they had a little bit of dialogue inside while the plane was on the ground over there in Van Nuys, but most of it was done in the studio.
Yeah, I say if you have a real plane, like, at least utilize it a little bit, you know what I mean? Like, I'd get, like, the cameraman and be like, look, we're shooting on this plane. Yeah.
I know, I was telling him, I was like, I need you to get me a pass, I need to go and sneak in so I can be at the shoot.
I was trying to get everybody to come.
I know. Dang, those
real jobs.
We could
have been one of the extras. right? And not read the book.
Seriously, though.
I'd be like, they had the book.
Oh my God, your acting faces are killing me right now. Yes, Oscar.
Thank you. I would like to thank, no.
all that time for what? 45 seconds of scene.
It's like it's insane. It's like, you, like Anthony said, 15-hour day for a 15-30 minute scene. Yeah. But that's, you know, that's television.
It's and,
you
cool
know,
how it all comes together.
Yeah, yeah, and we loved having that little insight. Thank you for you know, sharing those little tidbits of information.
There's also a scene that
us.
They cut out where I'm sitting in front of the plane for like 3 hours.
Really?
Yeah, and they were 3 hours just sitting there doing nothing.
Were they filming?
They were filming.
Oh.
And they cut that part that they actually probably showed was maybe 3 seconds.
Do you remember what part? Like what was going on?
The part where they were walking to the bus at the end.
Oh, okay. The ambulance.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
Or the bus, okay. the little pickup bus.
Yeah, the little shuttle thing.
Thank you.
Yes. Was there any like fun? Did you see anything fun? Like any funny things?
Nobody did anything funny, really.
No pranks on each other.
No pranks. No, just saw Shonda walking around up and down.
Oh, you did. Oh, so she was on set. Shonda Wilson or Shonda Rhimes? The director.
Director.
The director.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, she was running around calling the shots.
Yeah, she was.
Cool. Well, thanks so much for coming and letting us into the little insights and
I wish I had more.
It's fine that I didn't get to sneak in or whatever. It's fine.
Next time I'll let you know. Oh, just for everybody out there, Patrick Dempsey is one of my clients' best friends. They're into racing together in the same team.
Oh, yeah.
So he's there a lot at Van Nuys, FYI.
Everybody go to there. One day?
We're like, can we go see Patrick Dempsey, too, so we know that he's not dead?
Right.
We just need to see him in person, just to put these chairs to rest. Thank you for that. Just going back to the end of the episode also, did anybody notice that Candace was a little thirsty, you guys?
Yeah. I was going to talk about that.
I'm sorry that I'm stealing all of your ideas
tonight.
No,
you're fine. Go ahead, take it.
No, you go. Okay. Because when she was talking to Riggs, she was like, is it necessary for me to like have a follow-up consult? And he was like, no, your primary care for that. She's like, no, but I fly to Seattle all the time. I can take the first. Yeah.
And she was like, it's not necessary.
Yeah. And I thought it was a missed opportunity because I kind of wanted her to, I wanted them to address like her being like, oh, is it the other doctor? And then I want him to be like, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be
good. Well, he kind of did that look, though, because he kind of looked over and he was like, no, it's not necessary.
I need more than a look, Kelly.
Yes. But no, you got to read between the lines. I got it. I don't know.
That's the part I wanted to talk about. Is like, I appreciated it because they did have eyes at some point and where he was a little flirty. So I'm glad that it wasn't like, okay, let me kind of have her in my back pocket.
Right.
Just in case this thing with Meredith doesn't work out.
Right.
So I appreciated the fact that he totally kind of blew her
shut
off.
It down.
Right.
And even when he was also like flirting with her inside the airplane after, I was like, oh no, why is he flirting with her? But then he looked over and then he looked at Meredith. And I was like, okay.
Like, I forgive you. Nice doesn't always mean flirting.
That's true.
He gave her
eyes. I picked up on that too. Yeah.
Just like the dentist gave the eyes to Meredith.
Yeah, but he wasn't as aggressive as Miss Candace with the broken wrist.
He was clearly
because he was cute.
He was very cute, but not, no.
Because, he missed just let it go. Opportunity, because he was going to say something, and that's when the captain walked up, and then he just kind of walked off. See, that's the cue that Candace should have gotten, the first time. Like, oh, okay, I'll let it go.
Yeah. Let's talk about that last moment between Riggs and Meredith really quick, because I like how he kind of called her out on her shit. When he was like, you're scared, and she's like, I'm not scared, and he was like, yeah, you are.
Yeah.
And how could you not be? You know what I mean? Like, you had the love. I really enjoyed that scene 2 episodes ago with Arizona because she literally was like, Derek turned her world. Like, this is a love story of epic proportions. Yeah. So for her to move on from that, it's going to take a while and it's going to be a big deal. So for him to be like, I understand. Just give me a shot. This is what I love about Riggs. This is why I love him so much. Because he's so nice.
That's why I'm opening up to him. Because when you are dealing with someone like that, you have to have patience. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have that patience, then don't waste your time. Don't try to talk to me. Because it's going to be a while. And if you're here for it, then okay, I'll give you a chance. But if you're going to kind of be fickle and play around and get frustrated with me, then I don't have time for you. You can go by your
day. But I like that he also said, don't act like I don't know what you're going through. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you mean because I do.
Yeah.
And that's where she can't argue with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she has to kind of stop for a second and think, and it's hard. It's hard to face your shit.
It is. Yeah. It's just, it's but hard. I thought it was also cute at the end. Like, it's baby steps. Like, she's going to give him a chance, but she was like, you could see she kind of put her hand away. Yeah. She's like, you're not holding my hand. Like, and it was funny because I wasn't expecting her to say it because I noticed, I'm like, she's not going to let him hold her hand. Yeah. She's like, I'm not holding my hand.
But it better be a nice hotel.
Yeah, this has to go very slow, not only for Meredith, but for the viewers. Like, this has to go very, very slow.
Because I feel like we're dating Riggs, too.
Yes, exactly.
Because, like, I had my wall up at first when he came in. I was like, nope, I don't like him. Like, he's not Derek. I don't like him. Yeah. And then now I'm starting to open up, and I'm like, okay, if Meredith's going to accept you, then I will, too.
But she's so mean. Like, she's so mean to him. She is.
It's like, yeah, it's tough love. It's like the grade school kind of thing. Like, she does kind of like him, but... It's her defense mechanism.
But it's so rude. I feel like sometimes it doesn't have to be that rude. Like, I've got people to take care of, and you're not one of them.
Okay, that was kind of harsh. But the timing, too, like, there was a lot going on. And she may not have really meant it at that moment. But it's like, why are you here? I'm just too busy.
Yeah.
Whatever. But I'm still like, dang.
But I'm finally glad she ultimately decided to give him a chance.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm all for it.
Which, that preview was juicy.
Oh, yes.
Right? With Riggs, and I mean, the secret is out, and then we see this look on Maggie's face. Now, do we think, just like they did with the preview last episode, this whole plane crash, we were like, oh, it's going to be so dramatic, and then the plane didn't even crash. Do we think that they showed this thing with Maggie, but it's not even going to be that big of a deal?
Yeah. I think so, just because I feel like towards the end, she'll probably accept it.
Right?
I don't know. I just, that's...
Yeah, then she may accept it, but it's going to be, she's a little bit of a brat, so I don't know. I don't think she's going to take it well at first.
No, I mean, and nobody really takes rejection well, you know, especially for someone, you know what I mean? Like, right. I think it's just inevitable that it's going to be a little bit of friction, but I hope it doesn't last long.
And especially a situation like that when she opened up to Meredith about having the crush on him. And then to know if she finds out about them having sex before, like even before the plane thing, but like a while ago and around the time she started to like him,
that's what she'll be mad about. Yeah. She'll be mad about the past stuff, not now. Yeah. If she finds out about that.
Yeah.
You know she will.
I mean, she will, for sure. Right?
Yeah. Should we go into predictions?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Predictions!
And now, your AfterBuzz TV.
I kind of just want to shout out that I'm really, really excited about this whole Joe Alex DeLuca and then Joe's freaking ex-husband coming back. And it's not, I know. I'm like, why do they keep just dragging this out? I really want this to come to a head at some point.
What do you think is going to happen?
I feel like, I don't know. I feel like he's going to, okay. I had to roll back for a second. In my head, I feel like he's going to come back and he's going to be like a changed man, or he's going to seem like a changed man. Mm-hmm. And then something's going to happen with Alex and Joe, or DeLuca and Joe. I'm not sure where that's going to go yet. And then he's going to turn. And then we're going to see like his aggressive side. But I don't think he's going to, I think he's going to be like a devil, like a gorilla in the mist. Like, he's like, come back, and he looks nice.
Yeah.
But he's not.
Okay.
That's what I think is going to happen.
If that's the case, that makes me a little bit nervous for Karev, because he will still be protective over Joe.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't want to have another...
altercation.
Situation.
Maybe they tag team, and then they beat the guy up together. Oh, I think
like a threesome.
Kelly? Where's your mind going?
I was like, tag team? What are you talking about?
No, I meant protection details.
Oh. Wait, like DeLuca and Alex?
Yeah. They become one team and save Joe, and then everybody's on one team. What is wrong with you?
Get your mind out of the gutter.
You guys.
Wow.
By the way, my chair keeps sinking.
I thought you were getting shorter. Karina, what do you think?
I mean, I can't wait until DeLuca, until Alex finds out about DeLuca. You know, like, him liking Joe.
I mean, he's got to already know,
yeah,
right?
That there's some...
Yeah, but he hasn't really, like, said it to him or to Joe.
Or he really hasn't said it to Joe.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, that's a four triangle.
Ooh, square. Another four. Yeah. That was another square.
A four triangle.
This is why we are after hosts today, because clearly a four square, a four triangle is a thing now.
Thank you.
That is Ronnie, our engineer, by the way, you guys, who's amazing, and he's giving us our applause tracks because we need them.
And all I've got to say is Owen needs to divorce Amelia and be done with that. He's so over it.
Yeah,
over it.
I
done.
agree with you about the. I do think that they don't need to be together, but I do like Amelia.
Who has a higher title? Can he get alimony? Like, I just want him to stick it to her.
I do.
Upset me that last episode. I'm done with her.
I don't know who would actually have a. It's a good point though. I hope they're paid equally. Because man and woman, you guys get it.
Yeah, you got that.
Ronnie, where's my applause?
All right. Yeah, that was awesome.
All right. Well, I think that's a wrap.
Yeah, yeah. And then shout out to everybody in the chat, you guys. Thank you so much for chatting with us and tuning in. We love you guys in the chat. We love having your opinions out there.
Yes, we do. Thank you, Anthony, for hanging out with us.
You're very welcome.
And during all of our silliness. Thank you guys for hanging out and putting up with my cough. I'm so sorry about that. I won't bring it to the next show, I promise. And we have an off week next week, and then Grey's is back a week after that. So everyone have a happy holiday weekend, or if you're going to Coachella, whatever you're doing, stay safe. Be nice to everyone you meet. Remember, they might have to save your life one day. Make sure to follow us on AfterBuzz TV at all the social media channels, and you can find me at Kelly with an IE 079.
And you guys can find me everywhere at KarinaXBRGS.
Have a great Easter, you guys. You can find me at I am Timothy Mike on all social media platforms.
And you can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at Lanisha_33.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.